Okay, open lines tonight now on Coast to Coast AM. You know, I know a lot of you are probably having a difficult time trying to find the kind of work you want, the job, especially with the economy the way it is. This was emailed to me today, and I've got to read it. This is fascinating. And it kind of just says it all, doesn't it? Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock, made in Japan, for 6 a.m., while his coffee pot, made in China, was perking, and he shaved with his electric razor, made in Hong Kong, and he put on a dress shirt, made in Sri Lanka, designer jeans, made in Singapore, and tennis shoes, made in Korea. Well, after cooking his breakfast in his new electric skillet, made in India, he sat down with his calculator, made in Mexico, to see how much he could spend today. After setting his watch, made in Taiwan, he got into his car, made in Germany, filled it with gas that came from Saudi Arabia, and continued his search for a good-paying American job. At the end of yet another discouraging and fruitless day, he went home to check with his computer to see if he could find anything. That was made in Malaysia. Joe decided to relax for a while, so he just slipped on his sandals. Made in Brazil. Poured himself a nice glass of red wine. Made in France, and then turned on his flat-screen television, made in Indonesia. And then he wondered why he just couldn't find a good-paying job in America. Is that something? Well, we've got open lines for you. I'm going to open up a special hotline for you as we were talking about dreams and sleep. Years ago, the late talk show host in St. Louis, Jim White, did a little feature one night in the wee hours. Absolutely hilarious. And because we've got so many millions of you out there, you might be able to contribute to this. Here's that hotline number, 818-817-0021. This is your challenge. This is what I want you to do tonight. You can call any other line as well, but I'm going to reserve this line just for you. You know, you listen to Coast. Lots of people listen to Coast, driving around, wherever they might be. But in this particular case, some of you listen to Coast in bed. And you may have a spouse, maybe a partner, who sleeps and doesn't listen to the show and merely snores the night away. This is what I want you to do. If they're snoring, call this number, 818-817-0021. 817-0021. That one's reserved for you. You can call the other lines, but this one's for you. 818-817-0021. We'll be very quiet, and you can hold the phone by their nose and their mouth, and then come back on after a little bit, and we'll chat. But that's the only hotline. I'm in a weird mood. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast Open Lines. And don't forget, we will have a special snorers hotline for those of you who might be next to someone who is snoring. 818-817-0021. It's kind of diabolical, I think, but hey, what the heck. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to San Diego, get things going. Gary, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi, Gary.
Hey, George. How are you?
Okay, not bad. Just looking forward to seeing if anybody snores tonight.
Oh, my God. My partner snores, and I stick my fingers in her nose. And stop.
And she suffocates.
Exactly. She wakes up eventually. Okay, Sopranos, the very first season ever, episode 3, the boss that Tony takes over for, Jackie Aprile.
Yes.
He sees the Twin Towers on his deathbed. It's the last words he ever speaks. Now, this is in the 90s. This is before 2001.
That's right.
Episode 7, Tony wakes up to Carmella yelling at AJ, and his clock. Tony's clock says 9/11. I found the first season in a bag on the sidewalk one day, and I've never seen this show before that. I've since rented this series from different movie stores, and I've found some stores' DVDs have the clock that says 9/11, but some of them it says 9/17 now. I don't know why that is. But there's other references to 9/11 in this show before 9/11/2001, and I'll try to write them down on another show, and I'll tell you. But I got an anagram. If you take Neil A. Armstrong, Neil, middle initial A, last name Armstrong, and you say what he said, that's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. It rearranges to say exactly this. A thin man left planet, pins flag on moon, ran, makes a large stride onto Mars.
I love it. I love it.
All right, man.
Thanks, Gary. Good job. Good job. Let's go to Zan in Oregon. You are on Coast to Coast. Hello, Zan. Welcome to the show.
Hi there, George. It's a real pleasure to be able to speak with you.
Thanks.
I was wanting to let Kelly know about my dream, but first off, I'll tell you that my husband did snore at night when I listened to you till 2 o'clock in the morning, but he always wanted to know what George Norrie or the other Ian and
George Art and all of them.
Art, yeah, I wanted to say it was so great to hear his voice the other night. Anyhow, I dream a lot, and I talk a lot in my sleep. And he told me one night, this is what I was going to tell Kelly, as she probably, I don't know if she could give me an answer, but he said that I spoke fluently two different times in a different language. And he spoke a couple of different languages. He was Italian. And he said the only language you could think that it might have been would be Arabic. But I don't remember that. But that I thought that was very interesting. That stuck with me for a long time.
Past life, maybe, Zan?
I don't know. I really don't. But I just love the show, all of your guests. And like everybody says, what a great job you guys are doing on the station by bringing us these things that just aren't in generally talked about. And it really wakes you up.
It sure does. Hey, Zan, thanks for calling.
Well, you're sure welcome. You have a good evening.
Okay, next up we go to first-time caller, Steve in San Diego. Welcome to the program. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I was calling to see if I could get some of your insight on one of my dreams with your years of knowledge and kind of the more unusual aspects of life. And what it was is when I was around very young, like 5 or 6 years old, I would fall asleep, and then in my dream I would get paralyzed with fear, and I felt a very ominous presence
in the dream. And,
yes, in the dream. And then I'd go to almost a third person where I would be, again, like watching myself in my bed, and but still feeling the sensation of this being, whatever it was. And it absolutely terrified me. And I remembered it felt like it would reach inside of me. And it would actually lift me out of the bed very quickly and like slam me against the wall. And like I could feel it, you know, breathing on me. And it was just pure terror. And I guess in a dream logic kind of sense, when it picked me up, it wasn't like it physically picked me up. It's like almost like it tapped into my fear and was totally moving me and manipulating me by that. And then I would be flung down the hallway at an incredibly fast rate. And right before I would crash into the wall of our living room, I would stop and I'd be left levitating there. And this would happen, that this would always be a reoccurring dream all through my childhood, and the setting would change.
What did it mean to you?
I don't know, because the thing is, I was so young at the time, and I hadn't been exposed to anything like the occult. I haven't been, you know, anything that would really give me the kind of, you know, experiences that I heard from later in life when I would research these topics.
Well, I've got to tell you, I'm not the dream expert, but Rosemary Ellen Guiley is, of course, and Kelly is superb. Next time they're on, Steve, you got to get into them and get their opinion on what this thing means. Tommy's had a couple calls already on the snore hotline, which is 818-817-0021, except they weren't snoring. They're doing other things. We only want your spouse when they're snoring. That's all. That's all. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air.
How dare you, Mr. Norrie?
JC!
Listen to you. night after night. And let me tell you what.
Well, you should. It's a highly rated show, JC. I expect you to be listening night after night.
I have to patrol to understand what my enemy is doing. And I'm going to tell you what, Mr. Norrie, I am proud. You know how proud I am of America right now because of the cigarette ban? They've banned every cigarette in America, and I'm so proud. I didn't think they could do it. Well, but they banned all the cigarettes.
No, I don't think they've banned all the cigarettes, JC. They're still in stores. I've seen them. I don't smoke, by the way.
No. They banned all the flavored cigarettes.
Oh, those. All right. Okay. That makes sense.
Smoke.
Well, that's probably not a bad idea. I agree with you on that. Something's wrong if you and I are agreeing on the same thing.
They've banned them all, and I didn't think that this administration or this Congress could have the guts to ban cigarettes, and I thank the Lord they have. And next year they're going to ban everything else, and they're going to ban alcohol and sweet drinks. And I'm going to tell you what, though.
JC, are you sitting back smoking a pipe as you speak?
No, sir. I have been a little under the weather lately because I tell you what, the Lord came down to me and he said, JC Webster, III at boilingpitsofstewart@yahoo.com, I want you to taste the swine flu.
With the swine flu? You're going to get a vaccine?
I've got the swine flu.
Shot and see what happens.
No, I don't need no shots. But the Lord is protecting me. But I'm telling you what, America is about to be punished with the swine flu because we deserve it. Because America has become muck house. America has become a nation of folks that just like to roll around in the mud. And we're pigs and we're gluttons. And we're food pornographers.
Well, JC,
so America's about to be punished, and the Lord's hand is coming.
You do sound a little muffled. You do sound sick.
I haven't been feeling too well tonight.
That's because Edna's left you and still hasn't come back, has she?
Oh, well, I'm very close to catching Edna. You wouldn't believe
like you
how
caught
close
the flu.
I am. Listen, the numbers are bad. The numbers are bad. That's what it is. Cursed numbers.
She'll never come back to you, JC.
She's coming back to me, and the numbers are bad.
The numbers aren't bad. She just
doesn't want
bad.
The numbers are bad. The numbers, if you know the numbers, they're bad. But I'm telling you what, right now, I've calculated the odds and the objective, and the Lord has shown me the way, and I'm very close to bringing Edna home. But I'm telling you what, America is going to be punished with the swine flu. Wait. It's coming.
Well, I tell you, you're the guinea pig for us. You got it. Hey, we've got somebody. That was JC, by the way. Somebody on the snore line, I trust. Hi there. Let's be very quiet. Are you there? I can't hear you. Well, that's not going to work. They're gone. Snore line, though, 818-817-0021. See, what you have to do, you have to come on the phone first when I'm talking to you. Then you hold it over by that person, okay? Let's go to Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Know it well, east of the Rockies. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm kind of nervous.
Ah.
about 9 years ago, me and some buddies went on like a legend tripping thing. We went to a local graveyard down in the Boot Hill from here, and which is about, 30 minutes. Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gravestone there. You know, it was all called the Witch's Grave by the local kids and stuff. And we were, it's supposed to foretell whether you go to heaven or hell or something like that. I don't know. I didn't put much stock in it, but it was late one night and we were all out running around. So we decided to go by. And there was six of us in a crew cab truck and we all pile out at the graveyard. And, you know, we get there. It's pitch black dark. Three or four of us have flashlights. And I've always been a curious kind of guy, so
yeah.
Walk over to the tombstone, and there I've noticed there's a picture set into the tombstone with, like, a piece of glass over it. And there's another piece of glass with, like, a newspaper print underneath the tombstone, and all this is set into the concrete. And the glare of the flashlights, it was really hard to read it, but I was right down almost face-to-face with this tombstone trying to read it. And three of my buddies were out there around me, and we hear this branch snap above us, because it's a wooded area in the hills. And, of course, we raise our flashlights trying to see if something's going to fall on us or what.
Sure.
And when we do, the flashlight beams catch this, I guess now that I've, you know, been listening to Coast, I guess it was a shadow person.
You caught a shadow person with a flashlight?
Right. We saw it, and it seemed to absorb the light, like it was darker than dark. It was darker than anything else around it, and it was just there for an instant, and it, like, either disappeared or stepped behind the tree or something. And at that instant, there was only three or four of us that saw it, but at that instant, the other two guys who were kind of roaming around the cemetery, we all, like, felt something telling us to run. I mean, it wasn't... We didn't start running, and they did. We all six of us instantly turned and bolted for the truck.
That's got to be a scary feeling.
Oh, it was very spooky. I got goosebumps now telling you about it, George. And anyway, I went back. I wanted to finish. I went back during the day, of course, and actually read the text that was on the tombstone.
What did it say?
Well, there's a picture of a rose bush, and it was Jesus in the rose bush. He had, like, his arms open beckoning, you know? And then underneath it, the text was talking about the woman who was buried there had a family get-together in front of her house, and she was taking pictures of family members, and she felt just compelled to take a picture of this rose bush. And so she just snapped a picture of it, didn't think anything. And this was all printed on the tombstone. And, she died that night after the family get-together. And the next week or so, all the family was in there cleaning out her stuff, and they found that roll of pictures. And they were like, hey, that's when we were all together last. Let's go develop it, you know, and reminisce and everything. And then in the middle of the pictures was a picture of the rose bush, and Jesus was in the middle of it, like, beckoning her home.
She might have been that shadow person. Snoreline, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey.
Yes, all right. You got one?
Did you hear that?
I did. Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine. I think he has a little sleep apnea. This is Kathleen calling from Bellingham. Is this George?
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, my gosh.
That was it. That's a first for network radio.
He snores so bad. And I couldn't resist.
Now, he doesn't stop breathing, though, does he, when he snores?
Oh, not really.
I
usually just hit him because I'm awake listening to you.
And did he stop snoring, or is he still snoring over?
No, I kind of walked down the hall so I could talk so I wouldn't wake him up. I can't believe I'm talking to you. This is hilarious. I've been listening to the show for 17 years.
He's going to think you got a boyfriend or something.
Oh, hang on just a second. Getting louder. Just a second.
Hurry up. We're coming up on the break. Hurry up. There he is.
Oh my God, he just worked.
All right, thanks. We're at the break.
37 hours straight.
I love it. Okay, take care. Well, it's time for our shout out to all of you supporting Coast to Coast AM. First of all, thank you for listening to your favorite radio stations across North America. Truly appreciate it. 525 strong. Streamlink members, hello to you. And you're going to be able to dabble. It's not an official announcement, but you might want to start dabbling in the past archives, because by this weekend, we hopefully should be able to give you 2 years' worth of past programs now. Now we're working on three, so it's a great deal. Streamlink members, just 15 cents a day, by the way. XM Satellite, the various chat rooms and groups. NighthawkZone.com, folks, you're having a great time over there tonight. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, MySpace Groups, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, and our Twitter feed, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Thanks for making Coast to Coast the number one overnight program in the world. Appreciate that. And our snoring line continues. I guess there goes my Edward R. Murrow Award, but what the heck. That number is 818-817-0021. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Snorri. You know, it dawned on me with the snoring hotline, which is 818-817-0021. We might save a life or two if that person might have sleep apnea. You know, that's a pretty dangerous condition. It really is. And a lot of people have to sleep with these breathing masks that kick in on and off if they stop breathing. I mean, it's really scary stuff. But if somebody's snoring next to you, give us a call. Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana. Andrew, one of my favorite cities. How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. How are you, George?
Good. All is well.
I was just calling to ask you if you'd ever thought of having Charlie Sheen on the show. I'm sure he would.
We were just talking with Alex about that. He may, and I'm going to put that in quotes, be available next week for us, but I don't know. But,
oh, okay.
But we are talking about that. I want to get his views. You know, Charlie has come up with 20 questions about the 9/11 Commission, and all 20 questions are worthy of getting answers. And, you know, on this very unfortunate anniversary date, truly, we deserve answers to some of these questions, you know, and nobody is slighting anyone, but we need answers. And the commission, I thought, did not do a thorough job. And 6 out of 10 of those commissioners say that they didn't do a thorough job. So, you know what? We as Americans owe it to ourselves to get to the answers. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, George, I just want to thank you for you being so brave and, you know, getting this information out to people. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Next up, we go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Paul, east of the Rockies. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How you doing tonight?
Good.
You
still have a lot of Amish people with buggies out there. I just love it. I've been to Harrisburg about 4 times already.
Yeah, we have a really great market here.
Yeah.
And the market here is like one of the open markets, and the food's really great there. Really great.
Super.
Really great. The reason why I was calling, it's kind of ironic because, you know, snoring line, because my girlfriend, she just left here, I guess about an hour ago. She was like snoring really loud.
God, I missed it. We missed
it. Yeah. Yeah, it's probably somewhere probably close to sleep apnea. I don't think that's what it is, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever see her stop breathing, you get her into some sleep study or a doctor right away.
Yeah, it's pretty close. But the reason why I actually was calling tonight, because something kind of weird has been happening here in my bedroom the past few nights, actually the past 3 nights here. And it always seems to happen right around the same time.
Hmm.
I want to get your opinion on it here.
Okay.
It always seems to happen like around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'll be laying here, and I'll be somewhere between being asleep and being awake, that middle area there. And I'll feel something sit on the bottom of my bed. And the first time it happened, it was kind of like a little nudge where it didn't actually physically touch me, but I actually felt it sit down on my bed. And then I actually sat up, and I cut the light on and looked around to make sure nobody was in my room. And
you could feel the mattress sink down,
yeah.
Couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. And then the second, then I kind of blew up like that. Maybe it was just in my mind. And then the second night, it was actually a little bit harder. And I'm like, So I'm just, you know, I jumped up again, put the light on, looked around, like, okay, this is weird. Then this happened just last night where it was a lot harder last night, and I actually felt it come up towards me. And it seems like it's getting worse.
Paul, favorite pet that died, maybe?
Say that again now?
A favorite pet that may have died?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's just a lot heavier than any pet would be.
How about this? Where you live? Did anybody die there? Do you know?
Well, this is a pretty old house. This house is probably probably over 100 years
old.
Yeah.
Well, maybe somebody did die in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's. But see, is this started happening like the past 3 nights?
That's weird.
And I've been in this house now, I guess, for maybe 10 years.
Is it at a point now where it's uncomfortable for you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's getting pretty bad.
I don't know how I could sleep.
That's why I'm up now.
Well, listening to the show, at least that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting worse. I kind of feel like it's trying to get my attention, and I don't really think it's something bad. I don't get the impression that it's something bad, but it does make me feel uncomfortable. It really does, and I really want it to stop, or at least make its intentions known.
Well, you know what? As Marianne Winkowski would say, she's one of our Ghostbusters, she would say, you know, you first of all, be very adamant about it and tell them to leave and see what happens. And she's a believer in putting sage, you know, that spice, S-A-G-E, all around in different areas. I mean, that could work. Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and just search for Marianne up in the right-hand corner. And
I will do that.
Get her website and send her an email. She'll be very helpful for you.
I definitely will do that.
Okay, Paul.
Thanks a lot. You have a good night.
You too. Next up, we go to Dory in Minnesota. Whereabouts in Minnesota are you, Dory?
Where am I in Minnesota?
Uh-huh.
Albert Lea.
Okay.
Southern.
Getting cold yet?
No, it's been actually really warm.
Strange again.
Yes. Yeah, it was every year when they close the pool, then about the next 2 weeks, it's in the 80s, the mid-80s. It's happened the last three summers.
Remarkable. So, what's going on? Yeah.
What's going on? Well, I've been listening to you now for probably 6 months, and I love your show.
Thank you.
I caught the John Below Melchizedek show last night.
He was something else, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've read all of his stuff and used to follow him pretty closely. And then through just reading all of his stuff and following him pretty closely, I've found some inconsistencies. And I just wanted to talk to you about a couple of them that I noticed last night.
Okay, and I might not be able to answer it for you, but let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah, he had said that all the ETs had left, that they were all gone, and that the abductions and cattle mutilations have stopped, and that the last cattle mutilation was in, like, Argentina 5 years ago. Well, if you look on Linda Moulton Howe's website or, you know, cattle mutilation website, I mean, there was one in Colorado in March of 09. Mm-hmm. There was some in Canada in 08. But anyway, then he said they were all gone. And then he said they come when we are at our weakest point, which is now. So
okay.
I found that kind of odd, but I wanted to bring up the Blue Star prophecy.
Yes.
Comment. There is a wonderful book called Alien Blue Star.
Okay.
By Miriam Delicato. Miriam Delicato wrote this book. It's in regard to the Hopi prophecy and her contact experience with the tall blondes that has been going on for her. The first time they took her, she was four.
Now, he claims this blue star basically has already been by. And what do you think? What does Marianne write?
Well, yes, it has shown up.
It has, okay.
It has shown up. But this is a really good book, and Miriam's a really wonderful, wonderful speaker. I think she would make a great, great guest for you.
We'll pass that on.
But anyway, but thank you for you know, everything that you do. I've just really enjoyed so many people, John Lash and Linda Moulton Howe, and, you know, of course, Richard Hoagland and Rich Dole.
Great people. How did you find us, Dory?
How did I find you? Oh, my goodness.
Because you're a relatively new listener. 6 months is not a long time. So how did you stumble into us?
I believe on YouTube, I was looking up Stuart Swerdlow.
Okay.
And there was the radio interview from your show uploaded onto YouTube with Stuart Swerdlow. And that's how I found you.
That's how you found us. Well, great.
Yeah, because you're just really terrific. And have you ever heard of Freeman?
Freeman?
Freeman, from the Freeman perspective?
Yeah. But there's no last name.
I think it's Freeman Fly is what he goes by, but
no, I don't know that one.
Yeah, he just goes by Freeman from the Freeman perspective, and he does things kind of like Michael Tesarian does. He has some really interesting theories, points out, you know, symbolism and things like that.
You know these people. You know this stuff.
Yeah, actually, I do.
That's good. Good. All right. Well, I'm glad you found us.
So, I love your show, and keep it up, because it's just great for me. I take notes all the time.
We've got a great staff here, Dory. And
you
ever need to email us, just fire away. Let's go to Ferguson, Missouri, east of the Rockies. Longtime listener to my local show, longtime listener to Coast to Coast. It's got to be you, Jeff.
Yep, it is. Long time. Long time listener.
Things going well. Everybody cardinal crazy out there?
Oh, yeah. We lost one tonight, but that's like, what, out of five or six games?
Oh, you're so far ahead. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. First, I want to comment about 9/11 coincidences.
Okay.
There are two shows. One is Sequest. Have you heard of it?
I heard of Sequest. Yep.
Roy Snyder's character.
Mm-hmm. The late Roy. Yep.
Yeah. Said that there was some sort of catastrophe going on that said that this was like in 2020 the show was based on.
And the lone gunman, remember that?
Yeah, but anyway, he said, his character said that if the oceans keep heating up, you'd have to wear scuba gear to stand on the world top of the world.
Yeah, he's probably right.
And second is a show called 7 Days.
7 Days. Tell me about that one. I don't remember that.
A NSA project that used Roswell technology to go back in time 7 days.
Was it a movie or a
TV series?
It was syndicated. A series. Huh.
But anyway, this character...
I don't watch a lot of TV anymore.
Yeah. His character has to chase down a disgruntled employee who uses a remote control, I guess, cruise missile to take out the Pentagon in a couple years before 9/11.
Unbelievable.
And one last thing.
Yeah.
Did you get my email about Deer Chip?
No, I haven't. When did you send it?
I sent it to that private subscriber's email.
Oh, don't say that loud.
Oh.
That's for Streamlink members.
Yeah, Streamlink members.
Okay. Send it again, would you?
Yeah, because the news is that they are starting up their information implants things again, chip implants.
Okay.
With stimulus money.
All right. Send it to me.
All right.
I'd like to see it again. Absolutely. I've got a BlackBerry, and sometimes that gets my emails, and then sometimes it doesn't. And I'm trying to play between the two of them. I've got a couple of email accounts here. Let's go to Newport, North Carolina, first-time caller. Hey, Tony, it's up to you.
Hey, George, how you doing,
okay,
man?
Tone, not bad.
Man, I'll tell you, this is an extreme pleasure for me to talk to you. I've been listening to you. I don't know if there's anybody out there who's been listening to you any longer than I have. I mean, I think from the beginning. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Thank you for serving, by the way.
Thank you. And I would do it again right now if I could. I've got so many extraordinary things that have happened to me in my life with, I guess you might call them ghosts or friends. I don't know what they are, but I was telling your call screener about this shadow person that is coming through our lives now. But I think it actually started when I was in Vietnam. I was in the hooch one night, and we had this little game we were playing, Back Alley Bridge, had a little tournament going on. You know? And I used to have a scout dog. I was a scout dog handler at one time, and my scout dog was always with me everywhere I went. And we were sitting in the hooch, and all of a sudden I felt this hand on my shoulder. I said, "Come on, man." I said, "Get off of me." I said, "I can't be playing cards, you hanging on me." And I turned around and looked, and there wasn't anybody there. I kind of just shrugged it off. And a buddy of mine named Nelly, he looked like Barney Rebel, man. He was the coolest guy in the world. And I looked across to him, and he looked at me. He didn't say anything, you know. So we kept playing cards. All of a sudden, the hand came back again. And this time, it was pressing on my shoulder even harder. And I turned around and looked. I didn't say anything. I tried to look this time, and the hand did not move. I didn't see it now. But I could definitely feel this hand grip on my shoulder. And I looked down at my dog, because my dog did not miss anything. He could hear rockets before the sirens went off on the base. That's one reason why I kept him with me everywhere I went. And nothing. He was there. He was right there beside me. He was awake, but he was nothing. And all of a sudden, man, it came to me, and I screamed, "Incoming." And we all ran out of the hooch, and I actually have photographs of this. We ran out of the hooch, and a 122-millimeter rocket slammed into the hooch right next to us. And there was 12 guys in my hooch at the time, and we would have all
you
been
saved
killed.
Them. Saved them all.
Something
Jeez.
Told me to get out, and I did. And now I come home, and I'm here in the States. And I buy this old farmhouse out in the country in Virginia, in Roanoke, Virginia. And that's where I started listening to you. This was in 1973 that I was there. And I got to you some way through. It used to be a show on the radio late at night called The Hearts of Space. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not.
No, that's an oldie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you came on after that or something. Anyway,
well, not in 73, but that's.
No, I mean, I'm talking about years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you came in after that, and Anyway, we was in my house one night, and the four of us, my wife and I had been divorced, and I got three of my buddies to move in with me because it was a huge house. And I worked on the railroad, and I needed somebody to protect my home while I was going away on trips. And we were all sitting at the eating table one night, and all of a sudden we heard these footsteps coming downstairs. I mean, it was definitely footsteps. And we ran in there to where it was at, and somebody told me about confronting a ghost one time. Just confront it and ask it who it is.
Yeah, and be aggressive with it sometimes.
Yeah, and we did. We went in and we ran, all four of us ran in there and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And this kind of thing. Well, nothing. We didn't hear anything ever. My buddy Danny, he lived upstairs, bedroom, and he had this little cocker spaniel that he had for years. And he was going upstairs, and this dog would not go halfway up those steps. He would not.
Smart dog.
And Danny tried to get him, and the dog tried to bite him. You know, and he would not go. Well, okay, that's one story. Then I've got another one.
Okay, hey, Tone, I'm at the top right now, so I've got to take this break. And by the way, that show, it was a public radio show called Hearts of Space on public radio. And in some cities, it's still going on. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. And the guy you heard was the creator. His name was Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill was the one who put that together. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial. And if you need to email me, that's George@coasttocoastam.com.